Hello, I'm David Baker, and I've always been interested in how technology affects human beings, and especially when very traditional communities come up against tech. So for Crossing Continents, I went to Israel to discover how the country's ultra-Orthodox Jews are getting involved in the high-tech and startup worlds. This is the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and it's Tisha B'Av, a day of mourning in the Jewish calendar. Thousands of Jews have gathered here to remember the destruction of the Jewish temple in this very place 2,000 years ago. There are men here pushing up against these stones. This is the wall that was the original temple, which was destroyed here in 70 AD. There's a real sense of grief here. These people really are mourning the loss of the temple. Of all the groups praying here at the wall, the most numerous and the ones that really stand out are the Haredim, or ultra-Orthodox Jews, in their long black coats and black hats, a way of dressing that's centuries old. Haredi culture is rooted in tradition in the past, and it tends to stand apart from Israel's more secular mainstream. But in this week's Crossing Continents, I'll be finding out how the country's ultra-Orthodox Jews are engaging in an unexpected area, Israel's booming high-tech sector. This country is known as the startup nation, in technology often considered second only to Silicon Valley. I'll be asking how Haredim getting involved in this world will change the shape of their communities and the country as a whole. We're in Herzliya. This is a town just north of Tel Aviv, and it really is the powerhouse of the Israeli tech industry. It's very much where the startup nation starts up, if you like. This is a very modern town. It looks like it could well be in Miami. This is the kind of place that has companies with names like Neural Algorithms and Broadcom, and indeed Microsoft, which is where we're going to go now, to see a bunch of Haredi startups pitching themselves to potential investors.
בוא נתחיל מזה שאני נותן את הבסט אופר by far על כל החברות שקיימות במרקט.
אז בוא נדבר על הגו-טו-מרקט סטרטג'י. יש לך מוצר שהוא כרגע נטול טכנולוגיה.
So we are doing such kind of a speed dating that each ultra-orthodox entrepreneur gets a chance to speak for 15 minutes with a famous entrepreneur investor, and you know, maybe they will fall in love and maybe some, you know, relationships will come out of it.
Moshe Friedman is a Haredi rabbi turned tech entrepreneur. He's set up an organization called Karma Tech, and one of the things it does is bring together Haredi tech startups with secular investors. Are any of the couples here falling in love in front of us here? Do you know?
Yeah, lots of you know love in the room, you know. Love is in the air, yeah? Like they say. You see this couple, you know, ultra-Orthodox men who in a secular woman, they're in a deep conversation. It's like the future, you know. Startups, innovation, it's about breaking the laws and about integration, diversity, cultures, ideas.
And is this future Israel and a future without these separate groups, where all the groups are mixing together in one big country?
Totally. The mixing is crucial. I don't believe in separation. I believe in integration.
Moshe's been successful. When he started Karma Tech 3 years ago, there were only about 20 ultra-Orthodox startups in Israel. This year, 450 aspiring entrepreneurs applied to be part of his program. But as an ultra-Orthodox Jew in the secular tech world, he faced some early hurdles.
When I started, I met him with a lot of secular people, like, you know, investors, and I realized that they're looking at me like I'm coming from a different planet, like I'm someone from the Middle Ages. And they really didn't believe that I have any chance to do something meaningful in the high-tech field.
But Moshe had a drive to succeed, and it came from a very personal place.
My great-grandfather was the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, and he was the founder of the ultra-Orthodox community in Israel. It was 100 years ago. And one of the things he did, he decided that there should be a ban against English teaching in schools. And also he didn't want them to study science, because he thought that to keep, you know, tradition and to keep religion, they should be protected from outside influence. That was 100 years ago, and he succeeded very much. So thanks to my great-grandfather, we have today in Israel 1 million ultra-Orthodox people. It's about 12% of the population that are not connecting to science, are not speaking English. And I feel kind of a mission to fix what my great-grandfather did. At the time, it was necessary to protect this community, but now it's the time for the second phase. We should think how we can integrate this community into the modern society, into the modern economy, into the science, high-tech. I want, you know, the ultra-Orthodox people to keep religion, to keep tradition, of course, but we can have really religious people at the same time, engineers, programmers, computer scientists, and this is my mission, to show that this is possible. נגמר הזמן. עכשיו כל אחד, you walk to the next station.
The guy banging the cup and keeping things moving is Avremi Weingut. He looks almost archetypically ultra-Orthodox. He's wearing black breeches, a white shawl, black stockings and a black skull cap. At Karmatech, he's Moshe's right-hand man.
Moshe is the Messiah, and I'm the donkey of the Messiah.
You are obviously a religious man and part of the Haredi world, and the technology world is a very different world. How do you personally bring these two worlds together in your life?
It is really very hard. It is not just that they do not connect, they clash with each other. That's why the only thing to do, instead of fighting technology, is to connect with it and figure out how to take advantage of it for good purposes, to worship God. I do a lot of soul searching. God gave me the talents to make connections all day, to connect people and help startups with business development. And I know that that is how I'm changing the world, and that is why I want to do it.
Avremi may see connecting people in technology as God's work, but for many in the Haredi community, the ideal life for an ultra-Orthodox man is not to work at all, but to spend his day studying the Torah, the Hebrew Bible, while his wife goes out to work to support the family. About half of Haredi men in Israel currently live this way. Would you prefer being able to stay in your community, study Torah all your life, and not work in technology?
I wish, but I didn't achieve that. My mother cries all day, saying, "Why aren't you studying Torah?" If I tell her I set up a venture capital fund yesterday, she will tell me, "Oh, go back to studying Torah. Be a rabbi, that's better."
When you told your mother that you had decided not to study Torah, you decided to do this work, what did she feel? Do you remember that moment?
It wasn't like I told her I was changing my religion. It's not like that. I knew it would be tough for her, so I told her and she said, "What, you don't want to study Torah?" "No." "All right," she cries to this day. But it's not bad. She is not ashamed of me.
Shame is a powerful tool in the Haredi community. This is a world governed by rules and morals which are strictly policed.
Me, akima baboker, shetzichim litol yadayim, velomar et hapasuk shel mode ani.
There are thorough instructions. From the time you get up in the morning, wash your hands and pray until you go to bed at night, all day and all year round.
This is Rabbi Mordechai Bloy, one of whose titles is Chairman of the Guardians of Sanctity and Education in the Rabbinic Courts. The word Haredi means someone who trembles before God. And for Mordechai Bloy, this dedication to rules and constant study of Judaism's sacred texts is what has kept the religion alive for more than two millennia. But what Moshe Friedman sees as an opportunity, he sees as a powerful threat.
כן, בהחלט. אירוע ש...
The older rabbis say that Judaism has not faced such a danger for perhaps thousands of years. This is a catastrophe. There are families that have fallen apart because of the internet, because a community that's used to living a secluded life has suddenly discovered a new world on the internet.
How does the spiritual level fall?
בכל ההתנהלות היומיומית.
In all aspects of everyday life, from clothing to ways of thinking, to the kind of schools that children will attend, to the extent that there are men who go crazy from the internet and stop going to religious study and synagogue. The number of divorces has gone up, and the overwhelming majority is the internet's fault, because suddenly there's another world, one that's not conservative, not orthodox. It's liberal, open, and it's a terrible danger.
The religion may be ancient, but rabbis like Mordechai Bloy work hard to update its rules to accommodate modern developments, defining what is kosher or acceptable under Jewish law. And that even extends to technology. There are kosher mobile phones, which barely do anything more than make calls, and kosher internet, with various levels of filtering. But, as every parent knows, filters can be got around. So what happens if people don't obey the rules?
Someone who has totally unfiltered internet access at home or in the office is considered to be on an inferior level. The regular Haredi schools won't accept his children. People in his synagogue and community will view him with a crooked eye. Another potential problem is that people won't let their children visit his home to play with his kids or even in the yard outside. And now for something much more dramatic. In Haredi society, you get married through matchmakers, and no regular Haredi person will make a match with someone whose home has unfiltered internet access. You can sum it up with a very simple sentence. If you don't follow the Haredi club's rules for electronic devices, you have to leave the club.
So, if you're a young Haredi man, caught between Moshe Friedman's world of high-tech possibilities and the danger of being ostracized by the likes of Rabbi Bloy, what do you do? I'm at a kollel. This is a religious school for married men. We're in Jerusalem. It's a small room, white-walled, with an ark where the Torah scrolls are kept at the front. This is also a synagogue during the day. And in this small room, as you can hear, there's about 2-3 dozen men. They're studying the Torah, the Talmud. They're arguing with each other. They're debating the finer points of Jewish law and Jewish study.
If a nosei hu שאני בעצם רוצה לחמול עליי ורוצה אבא שויגי. אני צריך פשוט להגן עליו.
At the front of the synagogue is Rabbi David Label, taking the young men here through a piece of textual analysis from the Talmud, Judaism's fantastically complicated commentary on the Bible.
התורה בעצם מחזיקה לנו את המורשת.
The Torah has sustained our heritage, our tradition. There needs to be an elite or a group within the entire Jewish people to handle the Torah, to provide spiritual answers to modern problems.
But that spiritual life is under threat. The cost of living is high in Israel, and Haredim often have families of 6, 8, even 10 children. And cuts in child benefit mean they're subsidized much less than they used to be. Today, more than half of Israel's Haredim live below the poverty line. Plus, Rabbi Label concedes, full-time Torah study is not for everyone.
יש דרישה גדולה מאוד.
The Haredi public has a very great demand for work. All Haredi men go to study Torah, but at the end of the day, not all of them are capable of this. Or some of them might be capable, but they're 30 years old, they have 4 or 5 children, and they have no livelihood. They've got to work, and now.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I want to present for you a presentation on the subject of cyber. Cyber, what is this?
That's why he set up this place, Avratech, an academy for Haredi men to start training for the world of high-tech work. There's Torah study in the morning, and in the afternoon, English, coding, and navigating this brave new world, the internet.
Hey, cyber. It's short of cybernetics used in the cyberspace, and in particular, the word red web.
Hi, my name is Moshe Slavin. I'm 26.
My name is Yaakov Berg. I'm married with 4 kids. I studied for many years, but after that, I went to work a little bit.
Why computing? Why technology? Why not something else?
What's something else you offer us? That's first. We still not believe in the computer, you know, the Haredi, not to use the internet, not to use computers, not to use anything. But we know we not close our eyes, and we see what's going on outside. And the computers, that's what's going to be.
That way a computer works, I mean, we've seen you guys studying this morning, this kind of Talmudic thinking. Is it related to computer thinking? Is there an overlap there?
I think it's more than an overlap. After learning Talmud and wrapping our minds around a certain problem and looking at it from different approaches and trying to find different solutions. And in programming, I think it's very similar, especially the way of thinking.
Some people in the Haredi world might be, you know, critical of you. They might say, you know, a Haredi man, he should be studying Torah, studying Talmud, study. That's all he should be doing. In the old days, really, there wasn't this problem. Men could study and they lived a life. Has something changed in the modern life for Haredi men?
Okay, I think also the money situation, the life situation, pushing you to go out to work. Well, and actually, they used to work even 50 years ago, it was like this. No one learned in yeshiva before the Holocaust. Everyone worked. After the Holocaust, they want to build the community, the Haredi community. So that's why they said everyone need to learn. And we see the effect that it's actually worked. שאנו מפתח לצדיקים ירושלים מרחב ברחמים תשוב וסישכון וסחוק כאשר דיברת ובני עשו וקרוב במין בניין ולא מכיסי דוד מר עולה סוחות תוכים ברוך אתה הדינוי
Orthodox Jews pray 3 times a day, every day, and now the class is just broken up to stand amongst their desks, amongst their computers for the afternoon prayer.
Going out to work, it's kind of scary sometimes. Like, I don't know if you get corrupted, but lose your base. It's like leaving home and not knowing where you're going. And when you have a place like this that actually helps you feel at home, even when you're going out to work, and you learn that working doesn't mean you're not at home. You could work and still be in your safe zone.
To make the transition even easier, Avratech is also a software house. Once the men have finished their training, they're offered a job as a programmer, gaining valuable experience. But there's only so far the safe space created by Avratech's adherence to Haredi rules and customs can protect people like Yaakov and Moshe, and programmer Yoni Rice.
Every workplace, it's not just a workplace, it's also a social place, it's also a social circle.
That seems to be a very important thing in technology, this networking that people do there.
Yeah, and especially we're not machines. And of course, for religious men, especially Haredi men, to be part of a general society, it's not so easy. Just imagine yourself, all the workers sitting for lunch. Okay, we don't eat the same food, we don't drink the same wine, we don't go to the same places. If you have a coworker that has a party in this restaurant or this club or whatever, and you, not the place you would show up. So it's never so easy socially to integrate inside a secular company.
This is a lovely apartment here.
Thank you so much.
It's lovely. But some Haredim are giving it a go, trying to find ways of working in Israel's secular tech world while staying true to their ultra-Orthodox roots.
Sorry, it's hot here because of the cooking, for sure that.
That's good, of course. So what have you got cooking here?
You've
got
like a fish and tomato sauce.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like Moroccan, not my heritage, but I love it.
Hedvig Kleinhandler is someone who really pulls off this balancing act between her religion and her work in technology. When we went to her home in Bnei Brak, an ultra-Orthodox town just east of Tel Aviv, she was preparing for the start of Shabbat, the Jewish Sabbath.
In Shabbat, there are many obligations, things that you don't do on Shabbat. And thinking behind it is just to really rest and have, this is like the day God rested after creating the world for 6 days. I'm a workaholic, even when I go on vacation, I take my laptop and my iPhone and my iPad, and, you know, I'm connected on my WhatsApp and Messenger and everything. And if something happens, everyone can find me. But on Shabbat, I'm totally unconnected. I'm like, I just close, I shut off my phone a second before Shabbat because it's really hard for me.
Many people might say, actually, wow, this is something I'd quite like to do with my phone, with my internet. To be like, we have this sort of phrase, digital detox.
It's definitely the original detox.
Shabbat aside, Hedvig stays connected because she runs a startup, Lean On, developing an app which connects employees with mentors in their organisation. It's firmly based in Israel's secular high-tech world. With all her non-kosher devices and unfiltered internet at home, Hedvig is breaking one set of rules. But she's steadfast in observing others.
Her clothing, for example, is typical of an ultra-Orthodox Jewish woman. Long sleeves, a skirt that covers her knees, and she wears a wig instead of showing her natural hair.
Being modest, following modesty rules, sometimes isn't fun, especially in August. But I don't feel like it makes me oppressed. I do feel like it sometimes acts like sort of a shield, you know, in a professional environment where a lot of times there are blurred lines. It acts like sort of like wearing a wedding ring. And of course, sometimes it might work not for my benefit. You know, sometimes those blurred lines and being flirty can be beneficial. But I'm happy with that. I'm happy with abiding to those rules and enjoying the protection that they provide me.
This constant balance between the religious and secular worlds, between observing the rules and breaking them, seems to come easily and naturally to Hedva. But I wonder how the rest of her community see her. Does she ever get the crooked eye from people like Rabbi Bloy?
I think I was always a bit weird, not just in the tech world. I would be like the kid reading a book. And I always had, like, talking about diversity. So even in my school, which was all girls, all Haredi girls, I would always have, like, friends who are very different from very different backgrounds inside the community. And even in my professional career, I never did something that was regular, that was expected. I studied translation, and my first job was translating TV series. And I remember my grandmother, who was very proud of me, saying, like, at a family event, like at a wedding or something, "Oh, Hedvi, she is translating this and this for TV." And my other grandmother hushed her, "Don't say that out loud, like TV is like not really allowed." And I even like translated like non-kosher food shows. So that was the first thing. And then I had a blog, and then I wrote for magazines, which had like a model on the cover. So I never really advertised it inside the community. Like if my kid's kindergarten teacher would ask, "Oh, what do? Do you write for magazines?" I said, "Yeah, I write." I wouldn't tell her, "Oh, I write for Go magazine." Because like I didn't want it to impact like the way she saw him. So I think the tech thing is the least weird one. I think I sort of programmed my environment, like sort of my community to just, "Oh, she does like whatever," which is opposed to, like, I know other Haredi women entrepreneurs who went into high tech right away, and I know that they, like, face, like, a pushback. "Oh, why are you going to high tech? It's such long hours, such an environment." And with me, like, they just, "Oh, it's another one of those crazy things she does."
And that includes speed dating with potential investors. Hedva's startup is part of Moshe Friedman's Karmatech program that we heard earlier. So what does she think of his vision of a greater integration between Haredim and secular Israelis?
I would like an integrated society, but to an extent. You know, there is when the reform movement started years ago in Europe, one of the leaders there said, "Be a Jew at your home and be a person outside." And that's something I go against with every fiber of my being. I think being religious, being observant, being ultra-Orthodox is something that is inside you in everything you do, in your business, in your meetings, in your interactions, in your food. So, and I love my non-religious friends and everything, and I love being integrated and you know, reading fiction and everything, but I think it's really important to me and to our community to maintain our religious integrity.
So we're coming to your office.
What, you so have that's the good
one. That's the good alcohol selection.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you've got a library of whiskies here.
For a very different point of view, we've come to see an old friend of mine, Nimrod Lahavi, a very secular Israeli who runs a startup called Simplex.
It's in a beautiful little square bottle. You can smell it's awesome already. Well, here we go. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Thank you. Great to see you.
As they say, "Atzluche parnusse," it's in Yiddish. It's like success and good wealth or something.
Bring the money on.
Yeah,
bring
something on. Like that.
Cheers.
All right, cheers.
Nimrod has lived in Israel for the whole of his life. How does he see relations between secular Israelis and the Haredim?
I'd say it's slightly tensed. From the non-Orthodox side of the map, there's this slight feeling of abuse by them because there's no mandatory military service for them.
learning religious studies, we don't see it as something that contributes anything to society. And I think that religious is a nice hobby, but you know, if somebody, all he does all day is working on his stamp collection, it's not something that I'm willing to support with my tax money. And I think that everyone would very much appreciate them joining the workforce, the more contributing side of society. I think everybody would love to see that happen.
If more Haredim got involved in the technology world, would you like to see that generally drawing them more into the mainstream of Israeli society?
Yes, absolutely. I'd see it as the kind of foot in the door for them to becoming less religious, or at least less religious outside of their homes, just like it works in the US, by the way. It is possible. They just don't have the incentive to do it in Israel. So absolutely, I see that as kind of a very important and wide bridge of bringing them into the 21st century.
Fifteen years ago, Haredim and secular Israelis rarely met. Now, people like Moshe Friedman and Hever Kleinhandler, with their more open attitudes to modern life, are becoming more numerous in the Haredi community. But for many ultra-Orthodox Jews like Rabbi Mordechai Bloy, the integration that technology brings is as serious a threat to Judaism as the destruction of the Temple 2,000 years ago.
המלחמה עם בתוכנו. אלף, שאנחנו...
The war is within us. First, we look to see that nobody from within the community is opening the doors of the ghetto. Second, we're always checking to see that there aren't any holes in the dike where the global flood can come in, because we are in stormy waters that could bring us down at any moment.
But Hedva Kleinhandler is more confident about the future, for Judaism and for Israel as a whole. For her, the destruction of the temple provides a more optimistic lesson.
The tradition is that the temple fell in Tisha B'Av because of sinat chinam, which is hating each other for no reason. And the way that the temple will be built again, or the way that, and that's like a symbol for everything being good, you know, is that we will do avat chinam, which is loving each other for no reason. So, I hope that's the direction things will take. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel very beauty queen pageant.
That's all for this edition of Crossing Continents, and from me, David Baker. The program was produced by James Fletcher. Next week, Neil Rozell travels India's dangerous roads to find out what's being done in one city, Mumbai, to try to reduce the carnage.